Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
Hold on a second. Show notes.
Relax, man. You're crazy. You're so crazy.
All right, ready to go?
Yeah. Hi, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to. We're available right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson every Tuesday and Wednesday. We're on the iTunes, and we want to say thank you for everybody who hit the download and subscribe button and who have left. We love reading your guys' reviews, good or bad. We love the ratings that you give us, all that kind of stuff. Like, we're so schizophrenic on the iTunes charts. Sometimes we're as high as like 75. Sometimes we're as low as not being on it.
It probably depends on when we release.
Yeah, it's all trending stuff. Yeah. It's all trending stuff. But all the activity that you guys do on iTunes, on Podbean, on Stitcher, all that stuff, all the activity, ratings, ranking, that stuff, that just brings us up in the rankings on wherever we are. So that's really cool because it gets our name out there, gets the word out there, and it just grows the community. So,
yes.
So we want to say thank you for all that.
Thank you very much.
We also have a Patreon if you guys want to support and participate more in the Going In Raw community. We have how many people watching right now, Larson?
No,
oh God, he doesn't even know.
17.
17 people are watching right now. We want to say we're sorting out exactly when we're doing these live streams.
Yeah, now with SmackDown moving to Tuesday, it kind of has to alter our schedule somewhat.
It threw everything into sort of a wrench. We're working on, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to solidify a schedule to try to make sure everybody who wants to participate in the live stream can participate in the live stream. It's just right now we're kind of on a rocky road.
Yeah.
But we want to give a heartfelt thank you to all of our patrons out there. Check out patreon.com/Steven Larson if you want all the info on the rewards tiers. If you guys want to support the show, you get all sorts of different benefits.
Yeah.
Quick shout out to Kurt Wanzer, Alan Stacey, Adrian Strupp, Daniel Herrmann, Chris Kroot, Tom Bad Guy, Matt Linder, and Griff McAaron. All are supporting the cause for Going In Raw. I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to all you guys out there for doing so. That's really, really cool to see all the support that we've been getting.
Yes, thank you very much.
The activity on our YouTube channel has been outstanding.
Yes.
But Larson, enough of that bullshit. We had an amazing Raw last night.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Fantastic.
It was pretty good.
So what we're going to do is our usual thing, and that's called the Raw Cap. So here we go.
I feel like we need a new sound effect since it's a new era of Raw. So get creative on the spot and give me a new sound effect. Introduce Raw Cap.
Raw!
No, we're going to do it like this.
That was not that perfect.
No, I got a better one. We're going to do it like the beginning of Braun Strowman's theme song. Raw!
I go. Like my Tarzan yell. Raw!
Raw!
And then don't you say Raw Cap still?
Raw Cap.
Okay, there we go. This is like, so after WrestleMania, as you guys probably remember, they made a big point of saying, this is a new, as Cass says, this is the new era. And that, it didn't really feel like too much of a new era. It just felt like there were some NXT call-ups.
Yeah.
This felt like a sea change on Monday Night Raw. Number one, so Steph and Foley come out.
And well, let's talk about the new set first.
Let's talk about the new intro.
The new intro, the new song, which sounds too much like Nickelback.
I know, and I love that. I love that about it. Because I'm not a Nickelback fan at all. I'm not going to say I hate Nickelback because I think it's kind of rude. Those guys probably work hard for their money and they've built up a fan base. Are you going to say you hate Nickelback?
I dislike them.
I dislike their music.
Yeah, I dislike their music. I don't know.
Horribly.
I don't know what kind of people
they are. I guess I could say I hate their music. It's okay to say you hate their music. However, wrestling is a cheesy animal. It's cheesy. It's kind of corny.
Okay.
And so their Nickelback song that they used a couple of years ago was suitably cheesy for the proceedings, in my opinion. And so I always kind of liked the song. It was so bad, it was good. It got me jazzed up for the cheesy affair I was about to watch.
Okay.
This is
a new era, though, and it's not as cheesy as previous eras were.
I agree with that. However, the song I felt was appropriately cheesy and celebratory enough for the proceedings. And I love, like, I don't, everything just felt like they got their shit together. Their logo, I know you're lukewarm on it. A lot of people out there were clowning on it. I was waiting to see until I saw it. I was waiting to judge until I saw it fully rendered. And then I did. And I like it a lot.
I just don't like the underline. I like that it kind of glows like it's on fire.
Yeah.
I like that.
I had always wondered if that was like an unintended video. I was like, do they know that it's doing that? Because, you know, you don't know how certain effects are going to like show up on camera.
Yeah.
Like if you wear super thin pinstripe shirts, all of a sudden you look like you're quantum leaping.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think it was on purpose. I think they tested it out a million different ways.
Yeah.
And I love it. I love how it does. It does. It's like,
I just don't like the underline.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. Because it makes you, it, you know, it emphasizes that you're watching Raw.
Like, Raw!
No. Raw! I do not love the Tarzan. You guys can vote in the comments.
It's because my version is tied into Braun Strowman's new theme song.
Raw! Oh, man. Okay, so we'll get to Braun Strowman in a second. We're just getting through the intro song right now.
I know we're already 6 minutes into this show.
What do you think of the new set?
Talked about. Oh, it's great. I like the new set.
I love the new set. What do you think of the announcers being up at the ramp?
I like that too. The only thing I don't like is that we can't have any spots at the announce table by the ring anymore.
I know. I agree. But those are kind of played out by now.
Yeah, I know.
We need to take some time off.
They can always take that to the ramp and do spots up there too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I loved, speaking of the announcers, Corey Graves is so fucking good. So fucking good. Instead of, okay, here's the thing. I think this is what it is. Michael Cole, like 5 years ago, once he made the transition to heel Michael Cole and everybody started hating everything he said, I don't think he ever fully recovered from that.
Yeah.
And so when you have somebody else like JBL who's a character and could be considered a caricature, that amplifies how annoying Michael Cole can be.
Yeah, he still has X-Pac heat.
Right. But when you have somebody who's more grounded in what they're doing, like Corey Graves, and Byron Saxon, who I like.
Yeah, I like him too.
I think they play off well off each other. And Corey Graves is already starting to do some of the stuff where he clowns on Byron Saxon like he used to with Tom Phillips on NXT, which was great. I really like this announce team.
And I really like that they didn't feel the need to talk the entire time.
Yes.
They let,
that was a huge change.
During matches, they let him breathe a little bit, and there was moments of silence during matches, and it was nice.
So let's talk about the TV element in general, how it's presented to us.
Okay.
Because I also noticed, and I know some people, like our friend on Twitter, Iceman, disagreed with me on this one, but I felt that there was a change for the better in the TV direction.
I don't think it was a huge leap in terms of stylistic change, but you know, they have the tracking camera that goes around the ring during matches at points. There were some crane shots you mentioned.
There was the one time I noticed that tracking shot was, I think Cesaro and Rusev were on the mat, either recovering or in a rest hold of some sort, or submission hold or whatever. And the tracking shot, and it just let me, it let me watch the action. It just let me see what was happening.
And I think stuff like that where they hold the shot and just move it, just, like I said, lets the match breathe a bit.
And it's a subtle change, but I think it's a really, really effective one.
Yeah.
And I thought there was less, to me, my perception was there was less, and I could be wrong, but I felt there was less of the jarring zoom movements in and out. I felt that they were still there, but they seemed less jarring and more subtle.
Yeah, I can only think of a couple moments where it was disorienting.
Cesaro did a swing, didn't he?
Yeah.
Cesaro did a swing. And
on Rusev, I believe.
On Rusev, I think, yeah. And the in and out was not vomit-inducing. I felt that it was more subtle. I could be wrong about that. Maybe that was me projecting because I was hyped for everything else. I felt it was less there. I don't know. Maybe you guys can tell me yes or no. So I thought the TV direction in a couple different aspects was superior to usual, and it made it felt different and fresh and new.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of other stylistic differences, like in the TV presentation, but those are the ones that really stand
out. Oh, the other stylistic difference was the in-ring interviews.
Oh, before my God, and after I love those.
Yeah.
I loved those.
Yeah.
And Byron's good at that.
Yeah.
And that was really effective with the Sasha Banks stuff, which we'll get to. That was most effective. My God, they interviewed a jobber.
I know.
And that was a highlight of the show for me. That was absolutely hilarious. I loved that.
And then they interviewed Roman after his match against Finn, too.
Yes, yes.
Just and that outside the ring, yeah.
That was awesome. It was, I thought that the presentation.
And we mentioned this on the Machinima recap, that the whole proceedings from the very start to the end of the third hour felt far more organic because it wasn't so segmented.
Right.
You know, I think usually they would take their show breakdown and say, okay, we have segment one. We need to fill, I think it's 11 minutes before commercial break.
Right.
We got to fit these things in. And you'd be taken from the ring to backstage to the locker room, back to the ring to the announce table.
Right.
Instead, it seemed like everything kind of flowed into each other.
Right.
And just felt like a more organic show that had momentum.
Yeah.
As the show went on.
There was, dude, the emphasis on the wrestling, the emphasis on the stories being told by the performers, that there was such a stark difference between last week and this week.
Yeah.
And everything preceding this week, where it's backstage segment, backstage segment, backstage segment. We see the McMahons endlessly seeing them, and they're, and what Cesaro said in his little shoot interview after the draft. Oh man, I have to do my rant, but I'm so hyped over Raw that I really don't want to do the rant now.
Okay.
This is what my rant was going to be. So the draft happens, and then I read on the dirt sheets that Cesaro fell and was, Cesaro specifically said he wanted to go to SmackDown because they felt it was going to be the more wrestling oriented show. And they had him fall in the draft, apparently as punishment for saying that in the first place.
Hmm.
They said, I read, and I, again, if this is not true, then my rant is completely bullshit. But I also read that they separated Braun Strowman from the rest of the Wyatt family as some sort of punishment to Bray Wyatt for getting into it with Matt Hardy on Twitter. Because apparently they didn't want him interacting with people in that manner. Which pissed me off to no fucking end. Which, because why would you sacrifice your creative's ability to tell a story through the draft all for something that matters absolutely not to the wrestlers themselves?
Yeah.
Falling 10 spots in the draft for Cesaro, or 20 or 15 spots or whatever it was, doesn't make a lick of difference to him besides some ego based on a fake program.
And I don't even see how him saying he wants to go to a particular brand necessarily damages the product as a whole.
Now, if none of that's true, then whatever, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But if that is true, and so often you read these dirt sheet things, and it's like, that wouldn't surprise me if they did something stupid like that.
Yeah.
So that kind of irritated me. But seeing the product last night, and seeing how they took that shoot interview with Cesaro, and he doesn't seem to be being punished.
Yeah.
And they're letting him run with that as an angle. The new outspoken Cesaro, I think, is what they've referred to him as.
Yeah.
I love that. And people are asking, where does Roman Reigns go from here? Did you notice
that
Cesaro threw at Roman?
He threw him some shade, for sure.
That elevates, if they were to throw them in a feud together, who did Roman have his best match maybe ever with on
Other
Raw?
Than AJ?
Cesaro. A feud between Cesaro and Roman Reigns would do wonders to elevate Cesaro, because Roman's also already still a big name.
Yeah.
And it would be a learning experience for Roman.
Yeah.
Because he'd just get more reps in the ring with Cesaro.
And there's so many angles they could take with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That could be interesting.
That could be really, really good. I hope that look meant something.
I know.
Maybe that was Cesaro grabbing the brass ring and making something for himself, because maybe they'll see that and say, oh, put these guys in a feud.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Okay, so let's start the show off.
Yeah, we're 13 minutes in, you're really talking about the show.
But this is all important stuff.
Oh, it is. Absolutely.
Okay, so Steph and Foley come out and they say, we'd like to introduce to you guys
the Raw roster.
The Raw roster. They come out, look like $1 million.
Yep.
And they announce the creation.
No, first, Stephanie berates Roman
my
for
God.
A good
how could
2 minutes.
How could I leave that out? Stephanie fucking lays into Roman. She literally says, you're not a guy, you're not the guy, you're just a loser.
Blames him for not the belt not being at Raw.
Says Seth had it in his hands, ready to win that thing, and then Roman screwed it up. So they made Seth the number one contender for the new WWE Universal title. The brands are officially split. There's not going to be any of this dilly-dallying over the SmackDown title. That SmackDown victory was well deserved. Like it means something now, I think.
Yeah.
Some Iceman again on Twitter said, I think it was him, said, doesn't this diminish Dean's victory if Raw is simply going to create their own title? I don't think it does. I think that's the title that has lineage.
Yeah.
So there's that. But also, SmackDown got to keep that. They have those bragging rights at the very least.
Yeah.
They have their legitimate champion who has a notch over the Raw champion.
The only way his victory will be diminished is if they value the Raw belt more than the SmackDown belt going forward.
Right.
If the belts are on equal footing,
right,
it's fine.
Right.
Or if the SmackDown belt, as you say, since it has the lineage, is the more prestigious belt, mm-hmm. it's fine. But if they're like, all right, Universal is better than World, then yeah, a little bit.
And that's all going to depend on the booking, on mm-hmm. who gets over with the crowds. That's going to be one of those things that's kind of even incidental. You know, they're not going to, I don't think they're going to focus on it. Honestly, it's going to matter. Do you remember back when the brands were split before? The big gold belt, at a certain point when Batista was holding it,
yeah,
Batista
was the more prestigious
yeah. belt, and then the WWE.
And it went back and forth.
It went back and forth
depending on who was holding it.
It did. I mean, at a time, it was Benoit and Guerrero had either belt, and at that point, it was like kind of a wash because those guys are kind of a wash on each other.
Yeah.
So that's all going to depend on storylines, on which writing team really brings it. And so far, Raw has thrown down the gauntlet pretty heavy.
Can we talk a little bit about how I was right with the Universal title?
I'm sorry, I was so effusive during the Machinima recap show, which we've already shot.
I mean, here we have plenty of time to talk about it, whereas on the Machinima show, it's got to be kept short.
I almost fucking came out of my shorts. Not sexually, just my shorts almost fell off. Okay. I don't know why. I just made that expression up. I turned over in my grave. Terrible with the cliches and puns today.
Yeah, you are. It's really bad.
You fucking called. I mean, this is your crowning achievement. I'm sorry, but in life.
Yeah.
Months before, you dubbed the WWE Universal title. That's what they called it. Is somebody in creative watching this fucking show? Is somebody out there a huge mark
now,
for you?
Now, if they had created an annual tournament to determine the Universal champion,
then we might have like a lawsuit on our hands or something.
But they didn't do that.
Gimmick infringement.
They just took the name.
Yeah. I love the name.
Yeah.
I love the name, the Universal title.
And it was interesting that they fully explained why they gave the name, because it was based on the WWE Universe. But also, I was kind of wondering if they were going to like, okay, you have the world title SmackDown. We have the champion of the entire universe.
I know. That's how it kind of feels, right?
Yeah.
I wish he would have said, we love the universe, but...
SmackDown needs the interdimensional champion.
I was about to give your shoot name. But Ann Larson has dubbed this the Universal title, and then they show your picture on the thing, and then you come out. Anyways, it was great. The new Universal title, which will be crowned, the new champion will be crowned at SummerSlam. And to set that up, they established last night on Raw, they had two fatal four-way matches.
Well, first they said, okay, Seth Rollins is in the match.
Yeah. So two fatal four-way matches to determine who's going to face Seth Rollins at SummerSlam. The winners of those fatal four-ways would be in the main event of Raw last night. So sort of a mini fatal four-way tournament type thing.
Yeah.
The participants of the first fatal four-way, which happened immediately,
yes.
were Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. No, Kevin Owens, Cesaro, Rusev, and the first, and they made such a big point of hiding him in the back of everybody.
Yeah.
The first draftee from NXT, Finn Balor. Crowd goes crazy. He shows up looking like he fucking owns the place. With his Fonzie jacket popped?
Okay, you were telling me that you had a Finn rant on deck. Proceed.
I had a Finn rant on deck?
Yeah, during the Machinima show, you said you had some thoughts about Finn. Oh, you wanted to ask me some questions,
no,
too.
No, so I just wanted to know, after last night, have you seen the light on Finn Balor?
I mean, I always respect his work, but he's just not that interesting enough for me right now.
His match... with Roman was spectacular.
I know he can put on a good
His
match.
His match with Shinsuke was spectacular.
Yeah, I know he can put on... He's
and
a,
here's the thing
he's
about him.
He's a good ring worker.
Here's
I
the thing. Here's
that.
The thing about him. Even, like, you'll remember this. Even back in the day, my love for Finn was more... My love originally for Baron Corbin kind of matched my original love for Finn. I just thought he was a cool-looking dude. I thought he came out, he's a cool-looking dude. His demon thing was okay. Then when I saw his work in the Bullet Club, I really came around to him. I was like, okay, shit, this is what this guy does have to offer.
Yeah.
Whether or not they'll ever really let him show it off, I don't know. But now I understand why he comes out looking so supremely confident. Because he has such a rich backstory to him that, granted, somebody who hasn't really borne witness, whatever, seen that,
yeah.
wouldn't appreciate necessarily. But when he came out last night, he looked like he understood why they chose him so high. He looked like that intangible look of confidence, that intangible charisma, just sitting, just standing there.
No, like I said, I appreciate his work. I appreciate his talent. He just hasn't transcended that to become someone that I was like, okay, I'm going to buy your shirt. I'm going to cheer for you at a live event. I haven't reached that point yet. Will I? Maybe. I don't know.
So last night didn't do that. Did last night bring you any closer?
It just solidified whatever you thought about him. He's a really talented guy. Yeah. He's got tons of potential. I just want to see. Hopefully, they'll allow him to capitalize on all that potential.
Yeah, I think if his ring work continues in the fashion that we saw last night, that we've seen in NXT, I think he's one of those guys who doesn't have to say a lot. And dude, I tell you, whatever they're gonna have him do with the club, which is inevitable,
yeah,
and I have no idea what that's gonna be. I would love for it to be him becoming sort of a tweener.
Yeah.
Not a full heel like AJ, but a tweener. Yeah. Because I think they're the most
interesting. I think it'd be interesting if they had like the club on Raw be kind of tweeners and then the club on SmackDown be heels.
Yeah.
Or have tweeners on both.
Yeah. He came out, he looked like $1 million. And there's something to be said, you come out to NXT, you look like you own the place because NXT is, you're going up against guys like No Way Jose. This dude came out on the first new era of Raw. And looked like he all of a sudden took the mantle of the number one guy on Raw.
Well, he has experience in front of larger crowds.
Yeah.
Unlike some of the NXT talent because he worked in New Japan for so long.
Yeah. But to come out on the premiere show.
No, I know.
And to do that, I thought I marked out so fucking hard because they treated him like it. And he just exuded that.
I can't disagree with anything you said. He just hasn't. I haven't made that connection with him.
That's important.
Like Kevin Owens. I can't think of anything about his character that strikes a false note with me.
His performance in the four-way when he was with Rusev. Well, let's talk about the match a little bit. It was a really fun match. Everybody played to their strengths. There was some moments with Kevin Owens and Rusev when they were sort of double-teaming Cesaro.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin Owens was kind of dictating the plays.
Yeah, he's like, let's work together.
Let's work together. And then Rusev goes for a pin and he gets him off. And he's like, what are you doing?
I'm right in front of you, he says.
I'm right in front of you. I didn't hear that he said that.
That's great. See, that's why I really like Kevin Owens.
I know,
because
I know.
All the little details,
I know.
He's brilliant at.
But that's such an advantage that heels have, just by nature of the fact that... Because, okay, Sami Zayn has been able to get by on his... And I know...
See, but no, Sami Zayn, while he might not be as verbose in the ring, if you look at stills from any of his matches, in the middle of doing a move like the Blue Thunder Bomb, he just won't have a blank face.
He's
reacting to what he's doing.
Yeah.
All of the little details he has perfectly.
But also he's great on the mic.
Yeah.
Also, like, whenever there's backstage stuff, you always get a feel for his character.
Yeah.
And I totally feel you about the Finn thing. It's just when somebody looks that cool, I'm all into it. Like Shinsuke Nakamura. He comes out on NXT that first time.
Yeah.
And between his music and what he's showing you, it's like, oh my God, this guy owns everything.
Yeah.
And originally I didn't feel that about Finn, but I thought when Finn came out on Raw last night, he did that for me. The match was a lot of fun. There's a lot of great moments.
And they gave these guys, 15, 20 minutes to work their match and tell their story?
It was a while.
Which, I mean, for a while Raw was doing that. They'd have the opening segment and it would segue directly into a match. And they'd give them a good chunk of time.
Yeah.
But then after that, the show was so choppy. But this week, there was 7 matches over 3 hours.
Yeah.
And not a lot of backstage segments.
Yeah.
And they gave each match, for the most part, time to develop and tell a story.
Yeah.
Just to focus on wrestling and telling stories
and
building
night,
character.
If they did a backstage where, like, Corporate Kane shows up, and you know me, I'm a big mark for Corporate Kane. But if they did a thing where he shows up and is goofy, it would have felt so out of place. Because last night felt like a serious wrestling show. It really did. You're doing some math right now.
There was 5 backstage segments last night, interspersed throughout the 3 hours, pretty evenly. Sometimes they would do 3, back to back to back.
Right.
So, are we done talking about the first Fatal 4-Way?
Well, Finn Balor came in on top.
Oh, yeah. We didn't mention that.
So that's good.
Everybody looked great in this match, though.
Everybody looked great in this match. They really made everybody... You know, it's funny, dude. I've been listening to more podcasts lately.
Yeah.
I listened to not the latest, but one of the Talk Is Jericho's from a couple weeks ago, where he had Nancy Benoit's sister on to talk about the Benoit thing. Mm-hmm. And it's excellent listening. Just Google Talk of Jericho or get on iTunes, whatever. Really, really fascinating stuff. But I also listened, there is a Stone Cold podcast with Vince Russo on it. And then I listened to the first episode of Vince Russo's new podcast.
Yeah.
Or no, the latest one. He has Raven on as a guest. And he made the point on the Stone Cold podcast of saying, you know, my problem with the product right now is that there's no, he said, it doesn't have the three things that wrestling needs. Real characters, storylines that are compelling, and understanding that when they fight, somebody wants to win, like a real fight. I think a lot of his, personally, I think a lot of his opinion is sort of colored by, I don't want to say bitterness, but colored by his history in the industry in some manner, because I don't agree with half of what he says.
No.
I get that what he's saying should be true, but I think what he's saying is true in a lot of instances in what we see today.
I think it's true, but it's far more subtle than it used to be.
I think it's fewer and far between. One of the points he made too, which was kind of stunning, is that I guess when he interviewed both Damian Sandow and Cody Rhodes, or when he talked to him or something like that, they both said that in WWE nowadays, they basically put you in a creative box. It used to, and Russo's point was, back in the day, somebody was hot, we would try to get, he said our mantra back then was get everybody over.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said these days, the thing that they say Triple H says, it's a play and everybody has their role.
Yeah.
And nobody in the lower roles has even, like Damian Sandow's perfect example of this. He got over so hardcore, and they never really gave him a push after that.
Yeah.
Zack Ryder got over on his own, and they never pushed him after that. And so there's evidence to suggest that. Finn Balor, they're going to push to the moon.
Yeah.
Because you could see how they're treating him.
Yeah.
Roman, now I think Finn Balor, I think, is going to work for him because he can wrestle.
Yes.
Roman Reigns, it was obvious what they were doing, and now they've had to scale that back. And then the wellness policy violation might have been a way to say, okay,
we're going to pull the plug on this and start over. Yeah.
Exactly. But
to go back to the character thing, I mean, I can think of several wrestlers that I can describe their character in one sentence.
I agree.
They're not gimmicks.
I agree.
But they're characters.
I agree totally. And I think that's where I think some of his opinions are just sort of colored by personal reasons, by personal experience. But it's still interesting. I mean, he has a lot of interesting, he says the word bro way too often. Oh my God. When he was interviewing Raven, it was bro, bro, bro. But bro, listen, bro. And it's like, stop saying that. Anyways, good luck to Vince Russo. You piece of shit.
Did you see that Dean Ambrose is going to be on the next Stone Cold podcast on the network?
I did. I saw that.
That's going to be good.
That's going to be interesting. That's going to be really good. So anyways, what happened? Where's my show notes?
We had the debut of Nia Jax.
Yes, that's right. Was that next?
Yeah, against Britt Baker.
What am I on right now? Oh, I'm on those notes. Here's these notes. Oh, no, okay. A lot of people are bitching about this. A lot of people are bitching about this and the Strowman thing, about the jobber thing. I love this.
No, bring back squash matches.
I love local enhancement talent just being
because
killed.
They're in the Strowman thing, he got an interview.
Yes, exactly.
And it was great.
Introduced a new character who then got murdered. And they're burying his body right now.
And it sets up Strowman as a dominant force.
So much of it felt like so many great elements from the past were being brought back, like bits and pieces from that, you know? And it made it feel real.
Yep.
Nia
Jax looked great.
She looked great. She destroyed Britt Baker in short order.
Yeah.
Total squash match. And it was great. I loved it. I love that they're going to build her up in this fashion so that Sasha's going to have a monster to deal with coming up. And I love that. Let's see here. There was some backstage shenanigans with the Golden Truth and that's right, Sasha Banks. It was about Pokemon Go. It was a fun little sub-story.
Wasn't Goldust on Up, Up, Down, Down playing Pokemon Go?
Oh, was he? Okay.
I think so.
Okay, that's pretty good. Even this, it was some foreshadowing for something that happened later on. And it was great. So that was like a fun little bit. It was announced at the start also that Charlotte and Sasha Banks were going to be fighting for the women's title tonight.
Yeah.
Not waiting for SummerSlam. They're doing that tonight. And given how fresh everything felt, I honestly believed, oh my God.
It brought an air of unpredictability to the show.
It did. It was like, oh my God, are they going to do this?
Like it was in the Attitude Era. You watched Raw in the Attitude Era. You never knew it was going to happen.
Yes, exactly. Credit to Vince Russo for that. Then we had
a second Fatal 4-Way match.
We had Okay, then we had Sami Zayn, Roman Reigns, Chris Jericho, and Sheamus in another really, really fun match.
Again, game 15, 20 minutes. They all told a great story.
There were a couple false finishes where it was like, oh my God, Jericho's going to do this. Oh my God, Sami Zayn's going to do this. Like, there were a couple of really good false finishes there.
Was there ever a point where we thought, oh my God, Sheamus is going to do this?
Well, Sheamus laid out Roman Reigns with his bro kick.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so at that moment, I was like, no, but... But
at least you thought that Reigns was out of the equation.
At least I thought that Sheamus had eliminated Reigns, which I would have cheered for him. And you know what I like? Okay, and here's the thing about Sheamus, all right? I'm going to go on a limb here. Sheamus comes out, and the announcers make a point of saying Sheamus is viewing this as a way to revive his own career, or, you know, he's using this as a blank slate. So I'm null on Sheamus right now. I'm going to see if he can prove that maybe the writers have something for him. I'm going to see if maybe he can do something to interest me again.
Okay.
Don't look at me like that. You get that condescending look on your face. I'm going to see what's wrong with having an open mind.
No, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm just judging him by his past body of work.
I'm going to give him a new lease on life.
Hey, if someone does great work and I'm impressed by it, I will give them all the credit in the world.
All right. Again, like I said, really fun match. Everybody had some really great moments.
In the end, Roman Reigns pinned Jericho.
Yep. And this was Twitter just being flooded on Real Going In Raw. By the way, now we're the lone Going In Raw podcast. I invite everybody to go check out, I think you can check it out on Twitter, Wrestling and Chill. The fellas who were also doing a Going In Raw podcast, who decided to change their name. I love that name, and I always like their work on their version of Going In Raw. So you guys check that out. anyways, you can tweet at Real Going In Raw.
Yeah.
And I live tweet quite a bit on there whenever some wrestling stuff is going on. And my Twitter blew up because it was, oh God, here we go. But my thing was this. They're using Roman Reigns to shed the skin of the old era.
Yeah, and after the tongue lashing that Steph gave Roman at the beginning of the show, you had to know there was practically zero chance that he would be in the main event at SummerSlam.
At the very beginning, coupled with how Finn Balor arrived on that ramp at the very beginning of the show, those things together, to me, I tweeted this out. Seth versus Finn Balor at SummerSlam for the Universal title, guaranteed. Because they're not gonna be doing anything with Roman near that title scene anytime soon. He's on punishment. Triple H was punished for 18 months for the Madison Square Garden curtain call.
Yep.
We've seen other punishments happen for less time.
I mean, you could say that Zack Ryder has been punished for the low ratings of the last 4 years.
Yeah, exactly. Darren Young had a backstage thing where he was like,
you skipped a bunch of stuff.
Oh, sorry. I'm all the way down here. Okay. So then we had the New Day celebration. This was hilarious because they bring out this fan, named Sonny Boy. And they did a great bit because Big E says, okay, so Sonny Boy, tell me blah, blah, blah. What's your name? Sonny Boy. No, that's not your name. That's what I just called you. What's your actual name? Sonny Boy. And it was a whole long thing. It was hilarious. They have this big celebration in there with Sonny Boy. And it's interrupted by who, Larson?
The Club.
That's right. The Club come out. Sporting their new shirts. I'm thinking about doing a video. You know, I do the Friendo Workshop videos. I'm thinking of doing a Friendo Workshop on how to redesign that Club shirt. I don't like it. Everybody keeps tweeting me, look, they have merch. I don't like it.
I kind of feel like if they just got rid of all the text on back, it would be okay.
Mm-mm. This is what they need to do.
Because the front's just the logo.
It bugs the shit out of me.
I know you don't like the outline around the logo.
I hate the outline. The outline looks terrible.
Yeah, it's not good. They've got,
I'm sorry, and this isn't, there's something inherently cool in the aesthetic of Japanese characters, writing, okay? To Western eyes, I believe. There, the design sense, when you go, because I've visited Singapore, and you can, I mean, we all know what sort of the I don't know if it's Asian-specific or Japanese-specific, graphic design aesthetic, in my personal opinion, is miles ahead of the Western world of European and American sensibilities. I love that look. And so emphasizing the word that they use for the club or whatever that is, emphasizing that in a big way with the logo up here, smaller, and all looking distressed like the Bullet Club does.
I agree with you, but from a branding standpoint, if you have the club in really small text and the Japanese characters in larger text, it's not instantly recognizable if you see someone across the room or across the street what they're wearing.
Well, let me ask you this. Do we know what the Japanese text means? Because I thought it said the club.
I think it does, yeah.
Okay. The logo itself should carry the design. So if you look across the hall and you see that logo, the gas mask thing with the swords, and then the big... That should be the selling point in itself. That's the branding right there. The biggest thing is...
I think they want the club in English as...
Is that even on the shirt?
I don't know. I thought you said it was.
No, that's not on the shirt.
Oh, okay.
The only thing on the shirt is the logo and the Japanese writing.
Oh.
So I'm going to do my own version of that shirt. Okay. Obviously, I can't sell it because there's massive trademark infringements there.
Really, like the text on back bothers me far more than what's on the front.
Oh, the front is it could be
yeah, it could be better.
Think about how cool the Bullet Club shirt is.
I know, but
it's not just it could be cooler. It could be iconic.
Yeah, it could, but like
it could be NWO level.
It could,
but it's
I'm
not.
I'm just saying. For me, the real eyesore is the shit on back. Yeah, because it has...
But if you're walking to me, I don't say, hey, Larson, turn around. Let me see the eyesore on the back. No, I see what's on you.
But if I know that ugliness is on the back of my shirt, I'm so self-conscious.
Confidence levels are down. I understand.
Because it has the font and then it has the red outline, not around the individual characters, not around the individual letters, but around the whole block of font.
Look, I agree with you. I agree with it. It's terrible. I'm saying what you're looking at
I'm saying step one... Simplify. Get rid of what's on back.
Oh, step one's and then, here. And then step go one's forward. Here. Step one's right here. It's what you see on the front.
See, I'm not going to buy a club shirt anyway, so.
If it looked like that, oh, I wouldn't a heartbeat. Are you kidding me?
No,
I'm wearing a Carl Anderson shirt here.
I know.
Make it, you can have a shirt as iconic as the Bullet Clubs if you did that.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying, for me, the back bothers me far more. Right now. I mean, I haven't looked at a full high-res version of the front and analyzed it. I just kind of looked at it.
It's so over-rendered. It's so...
I just looked at it for about 10 seconds. I was like, oh, that back's awful.
It's over-designed. All right, anyways, let's move on.
Neville came back last night.
Yeah, Neville versus Curtis Axel. Apparently, Curtis Axel has some actual beef. Like, he was on Twitter saying, apparently I've been drafted to Raw. Huh. Like, apparently nobody told him. I'm like, look, dude, show up to work and they'll tell you to where to work.
Yeah.
You know, like you're Curtis Axel.
They made a point of saying that he was Mr. Irrelevant.
I know. And it makes me wonder if he even knew they were going to say that. Because his reaction looked like a shoot. He was like, what? Come here. And he got the mic and said something. I thought that was funny. that's just Curtis Axel. Neville went over.
Yeah.
I don't think I watched much of this match. I'll be honest with you. Neville. I love Neville's
match. It was an okay match, yeah.
Yeah, I like Neville. Darren Young backstage segment. Where he said, I was this close, Bob. I was this close to having it. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm not sure why you didn't get the title. Because I don't even know what the fuck happened in that match. What did Dan say yesterday? It was a double
DQ.
Double DQ? How the fuck is that even a double DQ? I don't get it. That didn't make any sense. But I like Bob Backlund yelling. So that's good.
Yeah.
Let's see here. More Golden Truth Pokemon Go during that segment, right? Is that right? I just remember.
Yeah. They came into the locker room.
Yeah. There was a Finn Balor video package. Whatever.
They're just trying to introduce him to people that may not have watched NXT.
Let's see here. A Charlotte and Dana Brooke interview. Again, this had it had all the feeling of, Calm Before the Storm.
Yep.
You know, Charlotte came off as sort of somebody who knew she was facing kind of a desperate situation. She was overcompensating for it. I thought it was great. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
Then, of course, we had Sasha Banks versus Charlotte. This was an outstanding match.
They gave him 20 minutes. They told a great story.
The moment, the tide's turning moment when Sasha pulled the Eddie Guerrero and made it look like Dana had struck her. And then Dana was thrown out of the match.
Great.
And you see Sasha back there.
Smiling and waving. I know, it was fantastic.
Oh my God. At that point, it was like, they're really going to do this. They are really going to do this.
Yep.
Her huge moment, which we thought was going to come at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Her huge moment was just a masterstroke on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
The unpredictability level just went through the roof.
And both Sasha and Charlotte wrestled their asses off. That spot, they did. The spot where Sasha dove through the ropes
mm-hmm.
and almost like
she oh my face. God, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Jesus, that was woo.
And then Charlotte did the moonsault off the top rope to the outside.
Off the top rope.
Crazy.
That was insane. I get chills thinking about it right now. God, that was such a good match.
Yeah, it was.
That was such a fun. It's like they're saying, go out and perform. Go out and this is usually the kind of match where they're like, they're not going to let him do this shit.
Yeah.
They're not going to. This is something you'd see in New Japan. They're not going to let him do this
well,
shit.
Well, I mean, usually you can. There's generally a pretty stark difference between a Raw or SmackDown match versus
a pay-per-view match.
They'll, you know, they'll let them do a little more stuff.
Yeah.
But it seemed like last night they were like, all right, just go out and do your thing.
Yeah.
Here, work with your producers. Work out a good match.
Yeah. It was outstanding.
I feel like that's how it should be. There really shouldn't be. I mean, a pay-per-view, especially a major one, there should be probably be more on the line.
Right.
But the quality of the match shouldn't really have that large of a difference, you would think.
Yeah. Jefferson has a good point here in the live chat, which you guys can see every week for $5 Patreon, monthly $1. He says, I knew when Charlotte held up her title before the match, her eyes said goodbye, and he's exactly right. I noticed that, too. Like, I think I tweeted, she's looking at this thing so longingly, knowing that this is it.
Yep.
She'll be a multi-time champion.
But I wonder where this is. I'm assuming this feud's not over. Where does it go from here? I'm assuming they'll have a rematch at SummerSlam.
I would assume the same thing.
But there has to be added stakes at this point.
Yeah.
But I don't know what that's going to be.
I don't know. Let's see here. Byron then interviewed Sasha in the ring.
Yes. Fantastic.
Just all the emotion was out there, and it was fantastic. And she laid it all out there, and she looks like a champion, dude. God, she looks like a fucking $1 million. It's great.
It's fantastic.
I have a Sasha vintage shirt.
As
on
you
the
can
way.
Tell, oh, I think we're huge,
both huge marks, dude.
Sasha fans,
big marks. Then we had Byron interview a poor shivering James Ellsworth. This guy,
he looks
God
like he looks
bless
like he's about
him.
As good a shape as me.
God bless him. No chin whatsoever. Like it goes straight from mouth to neck. Offspring tattoo, which everybody lit up on Twitter. Does this dude have an... I didn't realize that was the Offspring's logo.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
But God bless all you guys on Twitter for shouting that out because that just makes it even more brilliant. And then Strowman comes out with a new, freshly shaved head.
Well, part of it was.
Looks like a fucking... He looks like Frankenstein. He looks like a fucking beast.
I know.
He looks like an eater of worlds.
I know.
This is how you get Braun Strowman into a program with Brock Lesnar.
Yep.
This kind of shit. And yep. I know what you're going to say. They fed him a 120-pound, you know.
But you know what? Back when.
Little tiny fish.
When they were getting Ryback over, how mm-hmm. they do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fed him local jobbers.
Remember, they used to feed him two at a time.
Yep.
He'd like get both of them up there in his little Ryborg move.
Yep.
And so,
and it worked.
It totally worked. I loved it. You know, it's like, what are you going to do? Put Strowman in a match against like R-Truth and have him squash R-Truth. That does nothing for anybody. You know, put him in there, like have him eat people.
Especially when the people he wrestles get interviews before the match.
Mm-hmm.
And it sells how intimidating Braun Strowman is.
Exactly. It makes them human.
Yeah.
You know, it really makes them human. And there's all sorts of great local talents out there who can do stuff like this. You know, utilize that.
Yep.
It was great. Braun Strowman destroyed James Ellsworth. May he rest in peace. Was there more of the Pokemon
Go before
the match?
Yeah, they were backstage, and R-Truth says, I found a Pokemon, and it was the Pittsburgh Penguins logo.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so throughout the entire episode, and then it culminated in the Enzo and Cass versus... So Enzo and Cass come out. They cut a promo. Again, did a great job. I don't remember what it was. They all kind of run together for me these times. But every time, I'm so tickled.
Yeah.
They're so great. What was Cass naming, listing off this time?
Things he likes raw.
Yeah, it was great. Anyways, then the Shining Stars comes out. The only thing that could have made Raw better this week was if Carlito came out. Because there was a part of me that was like, man, are they going to bring Carlito out now too?
I know, that'd be cool.
I spit in the face of people who don't want to be cool.
I do that really good. Shining Stars come out. They drop a bit of a promo. I wasn't even sad to see them. I was like, oh, good for them. Let's see what they can do.
Their
in this
initial
new era.
Video promos were great.
I know. I like their stuff. So they came out. They took on Enzo and Cass. During the match, R-Truth, a wonderfully oblivious R-Truth, is playing Pokemon Go. He comes in through the ring. Goldust understands what's happening. He's trying to get... What are you doing? Get out of there. Get out of there. These two are great together. He leaves the ring, but that creates a sort of a distraction for Primo or Epico. I forget which one. And then that ends up with Cass getting the giant. What was it, a boot that he gave him?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jesus.
For the win.
For the win. Nothing but power there. I love Cass. God, I love those guys.
So Lesnar is going to be back on Raw next week.
Good.
Did you hear, I don't know how loud the piped-in reaction from the crowd was when they threw up the video package, but it kind of sounded like there was some boos. I thought I heard.
Orton's going to be the face in this thing.
Yeah.
Orton's going to be the face in this match.
Yep.
And because of, maybe the WWE thought, this is a gift for us, because we want Orton to be a face.
Yeah.
We want him to be over. This is a gift for us.
That could be.
Because now we have a face and a heel.
Yeah.
Are people going to be booing Brock Lesnar because of his enhancements?
Maybe.
Maybe. I hope so.
It would make this match interesting.
I know. I know.
Because otherwise, I think we all fully expected about a 5-minute match.
Yeah.
Where Lesnar gets mostly offense, Orton gets a couple moves in before
any chance, an F5 any chance now. After Orton's highlight reel, after the reaction you noticed for Brock Lesnar, after everything, any chance Orton wins? I think there is. I think it's up to 40%.
No.
I think it's up to 40%.
25 at most.
Brock's not going to be around. But, dude, Brock's not going to be around for a long time. Orton is still going
to
be there.
I still feel like they're holding on to that rub that someone's going to get from beating Lesnar to catapult someone into a next level. That's what I think.
I think they
regardless if Orton wins or loses that match, it's not going to do a whole lot for Orton.
See, I think it will.
I don't think it really will.
I think that he's going to be, maybe he'll have, look, you're telling me right now Dean Ambrose doesn't have an opponent.
I know. We'll talk about that later.
If Orton wins at SummerSlam, whatever Dean does in the meantime, I don't know. What do you think Dean's going to do at SummerSlam?
We'll talk about that later. We've got some questions about that.
Okay. Do you have an idea as to what he's going to do?
I have a couple.
Okay. All right. Let's see here. Reigns and Balor backstage. A little awkward. That's all right, though.
Yeah. Because the match was good.
The match was really good. This backstage thing, I think, was unnecessary.
Yeah, it was.
I think it was unnecessary. Because Balor says something where Roman says, good luck. Balor has a lot of confidence, but he said, luck? I don't need luck. I'm Irish.
No, he says, I'm Irish. We invented luck.
We invented luck. And to me, anytime at any point now, when anybody says anything that has the word Irish in it, I think of Sheamus. You know, Finn Balor to me transcends all. He's going to be the universal champion. He transcends everything. Shinsuke Nakamura transcends his own backstory, his own origins. He's of the dimensions. Oh, goodness. Anyways, but, you know, it was a whatever backstage moment. But, oh, boy, this match, I was really into it.
Yeah.
Roman did a good job of either telegraphing that he's being punished or telegraphing that there might be a heel run in his future or telegraphing that, I don't know what.
He's
over this wrestling business thing.
Yeah.
He's like, he has to be asking, why am I even doing this anymore? Is this worth it? He never seemed like he cares.
I know.
He doesn't ever seem like he cares.
Yeah.
He always seems like he's just sort of happy to be there.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to have that innate passion to be the top dog.
Yeah. He always comes across like a beta. Can I say that? That's like an internet thing now, isn't it, beta?
I guess so.
I don't know. Anyways, yeah, fantastic match. And... you know, this was the first time I've seen a coup de grace. It's called a coup de grace, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That I loved. He got so much air on this thing, and he seemed to land it differently. He seemed to land it on Roman as opposed to skipping off Roman.
Yeah.
It
seems like instead of doing
this, which looks like it's going to hurt every time.
He does that.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
His heels hit and then his butt hit.
His heels hit and that looks like it actually impacts a guy.
Yeah.
I'm still not a big fan of the move, and no. I love his, I forget what they call it, but I love his other finisher. Oh, sort of the pile driver type thing.
He has kind of like the reverse lifting DDT thing, the 1960s.
Okay, yeah, but it's kind of a
well, it's a reverse DDT.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's see here. But yeah, it was a fantastic match.
It was good.
It was a fantastic match. And the crowd went nuts for Balor. And Twitter went nuts for Balor.
I kind of wish, I told you this last night, that Roman went in there and took out his frustrations. Turn him heel.
Yeah, but he's being punished, man.
I know. He's not getting any sort of interesting spotlight on him, I know.
Yeah, you're right. He's not. He's, no, he had to eat shit. That interview afterwards, he had to eat shit.
Yeah. And he's going to have to do that for a while.
And he knew he was eating shit. He looked like he was eating shit. He's eating shit. But there were a couple of moments during the match, I thought, and I don't know if this is on purpose or if he wanted to do this or they told him to do this, but there were a couple moments when he looked like he could turn heel. He could start doing some really
good things.
That's
why I was hoping that at the end of the match he would turn heel. Mm-hmm. It seemed like a good opportunity to do that.
I think they wanted people leaving on such a high note.
Yeah.
And that would have brought sort of a bummer on things. That would have worked if they would have made the women's title. Could you imagine they made the women's title the main event?
That'd been great.
Ooh. And then had like streamers come down and confetti and shit. That'd be dope. Anyways, Larson, you want to do some questions?
Okay, first one, Randy Hayes.
Part of this new era, I'm the one who asks if you want to do questions, and then you say yes. Usually you say, Steve, you want to do questions?
Yeah. If AJ versus Cena is happening again, and Orton is facing Lesnar, who does Dean defend the belt against at SummerSlam?
All right, now, Larson, you're our master fantasy booker.
I looked over the SmackDown roster, the top of it.
It's called the 1916. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I don't listen to you ever.
Right now, the only top star in SmackDown who doesn't have a match, it seems like, at SummerSlam is Bray Wyatt. It seems like they...
Cena doing at SummerSlam?
I'm assuming he's wrestling AJ again.
Oh, yeah.
So, I had a thought, though.
Yes, sir.
Bring back Kurt Angle. Make him a heel, though.
Oh.
He can come out and drop a promo on Dean saying, you lack the three eyes.
Yeah.
Be great.
Okay.
How else are they going to create the same kind of excitement?
Kurt Angle's never... He's not going to be able to be a heel for a year after his return. He is beloved.
No, he can drop a great heel promo.
You're
right
insane.
Right out of the gate.
You're insane.
And get heat.
Not a chance is Kurt Angle ever going to be a heel.
Yeah. No, I mean, it won't happen.
Here's my thing. Right now, you say Dean versus Bray, and I say likely, and it's probably going to be boring. That's part of the old era. Can you imagine if SmackDown brings it tonight?
I hope they will.
How great it would be if they fucking bring it and they use Bray Wyatt the way they should use Bray
Wyatt.
Oh, I know.
Then it would be interesting.
Oh, man. That'd be great.
Especially off the Wyatt's family win at Battleground.
Yeah.
Just have them go out there and dominate the whole show. Fucking SmackDown tonight should be 2 hours of Bray Wyatt dominating.
I agree. Totally. That'd be great.
That's what it should be.
John Cena.
Nacho McMoo.
That's a great name.
So the only real response SmackDown has to Balor versus Rollins is Ambrose versus Styles, right? It seems like Styles and Cena is going to keep going.
I mean, look, we'll see. Like, from what I saw in Raw, everything's fresh. Nothing's off the table.
Yeah.
Did we see any stories continue? Sasha versus Charlotte, we saw that. That was sort of a carryover.
New Day mentioned the Wyatts.
Yeah.
Briefly.
But the Club New Day, we haven't really seen that.
Yeah. But like Xavier just said, okay, I'm really happy that Bray Wyatt got drafted to SmackDown. That was it.
Yeah. He shaved his beard, too. So any hopes of him joining the Wyatt family, which I'm glad. I love the split. I love the split of the brands.
Yeah.
By the way, if you guys want to submit questions, go ahead and do so at the Twitters, at Real Going In Raw, hashtag FQ.
Correct. We get a lot of them, and I try to add all of them, but if there's too many similar questions... I'll just stick to one or two of them.
Yeah.
Five.
Yeah.
Next, Goldo. Will Ambrose take on AJ and have a match at SummerSlam? Second question, will SummerSlam be the event where the club takes over WWE?
It'll be really interesting and really ballsy at this point if they have Finn interact with the club in any measure. I would love for them to write Finn interestingly enough so that he can be part of the club and still maintain how hot he is as a babyface, because that's what they want right now. Yeah. They're gonna want him as a babyface.
Yeah, they seem poised to make him the top babyface on Raw right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and especially with the club beating up the New Day, it's kind of hard to.
It's hard. They're not faces.
No,
they're not even close to that. That was pure heel last night.
Yes.
So I don't know. I would say no at this point, because Finn. I think Finn. They're going to push him as a babyface as long as they can.
Yep. James Garcia, should Braun Strowman be given a world title run before Bray Wyatt? They can set up the Demon versus the Black Sheep.
Well, it'd be the Universal title. If they keep on booking Braun Strowman well, then I think they can write him into it. I'm excited because it seemed like there's good writing last night. That's what I'm excited about. Yeah. And if they keep that trajectory going, if they keep that momentum going, then I mean, number one would be a Universal title because he's on Raw. So I don't know. I'd love to see that if the writing's good. But also they're on separate brands. I like them on separate brands, though.
Yeah, but that's not what he's asking. He's just saying, will Strowman get a world title before? Oh, I mean, I guess the
second part of the question. Oh, what they say, the Demon. Okay, Demon. Yeah, I don't know.
Second part of the question, yeah. But the first part, I think Wyatt's going to get a world title before Strowman does.
Yeah.
Zach Mohammed. Hello, friendos.
Hi.
What do you think Strowman's singles career path will be from here? Would you like to see him repackaged?
I think, obviously, I think what you said earlier about Ryback, I think he's going to take that path. But, you know, Ryback, like I've always said about Ryback, he looked like he was conceived by the imagination of a five-year-old with a batch of crayons.
Yeah.
Strowman is not that. And didn't they say, wasn't it said a long time ago that Strowman has a lot more to offer in the ring than
we've
been
seeing? That's what I heard, yeah. And he seemed to move with far more quickness last night than he had previously.
Yeah. So what's his path? He eats a bunch of local talents. And then
I like his new finisher, the reverse chokeslam.
Yeah, me too.
That's good.
It wouldn't surprise me if they had him eat local talents and then fast-tracked him to the world title scene. Because everything else, like, if you really want to get this dude over, then everything else is too small.
Yeah.
That's my initial feeling. I don't like when they go, I mean, look, Rusev versus Strowman. Rusev's the kind of guy who people really want to cheer for, I think.
I know.
You know? So a Rusev face turn with a heel Strowman for the U.S. title, I could see that, though. Because Rusev has made something with the U.S. belt.
I know, and I think a face Rusev could be really funny.
I think it'd be amazing.
Especially if he's still saying, Machka!
Dog Ziggler. He had that smile. Whenever he smiles because he knows he's saying something funny, it's the best
thing. I know. Or he does something funny, like that time he didn't he put someone through a table and he laid in the ground and raised his hands up, and he was half smiling when he did. That was great. Randy Hayes, do you know which roster is working WWE live house shows? I believe there's the split rosters are working their own house shows.
I think they were before.
There's always two touring groups. NES Matt, what do you think the best match was going to be and what turned out to be the best match, I guess, on Raw or Battleground?
What did you think the best match was going to be and what turned out to be? I think he's talking about Battleground because this was
before. The 24th,
What ended up being the best match? Oh, Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens was the best match, and I think we both would have figured that would be the case.
Dirty Dieter, what do you think of the new commentary lineup? What would you change for him? Corey didn't stand out enough, and I think that was intentional.
I love that he didn't stand out. I like that he was exactly what he should be. You said it earlier during when we were talking about TV presentation. The announcers weren't announcing as much.
Yep.
And that was, I thought it was great. And I thought that Corey did exactly what Corey should have done.
Yep.
Agreed. I love it.
Agreed. I do too. Steve Papa. How do you guys feel about the new placement of the announce table?
I love it when you call me Steve Papa.
It's good.
I like it. I like where it is. It's different.
Yeah.
You know?
We're just going to lose announce table spots.
We're going to lose Kevin Owens yelling at announce team, but he could do it from the ramp.
Yeah, he could.
Do it from the ramp.
Alan Leahy, with another clean pin on Reigns, is his time at the top finally over for the time being?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Jordan Shea, what will Reigns do until SummerSlam? This is a good question. I don't know who. I mean, maybe he'll do the Cesaro feud like you think.
I'll put it this way. Okay, what's obvious? What's obvious?
I don't know if there is an obvious one.
Nothing's obvious, so I hope we're looking at Cesaro. Because I think Cesaro would be great for both of them.
I think the two best options for his kind of development would be Cesaro and Kevin Owens.
Cesaro and Kevin Owens, okay.
And only say
I just feel like I've seen them way too much lately. They've had a lot of matches against each other lately.
Yeah.
I'm sort of over that.
But yeah, I mean, if you want to keep Roman face and pair him up with a good heel foil, Kevin Owens is the first name that came to my mind. To keep him kind of on the upper mid-card.
Wait, what did you say? I thought you said Cesaro Owens.
No.
Oh, you said Owens Reigns?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm fine with that. I like that. That does the same thing. I think it brings Owens up a little bit. Yeah.
A King 2343, what do you think they are going to do now with Roman Reigns? Kind of answered that already.
Yeah. Marcin Lesnicki.
He genuinely likes Roman. How do you think Roman feels? He looks incredibly affected by the booze and the punishment.
I think he's asking himself, why the fuck am I even bothering with this? I think he's thinking, man, I want to go be in a Marvel movie. That's what he's thinking.
Yeah.
He's like, why can't I be Aquaman? Because I look exactly like the dude that's fucking playing Aquaman.
I know, he looks exactly like Jason Momoa right now.
He does.
Jack Jarves.
Put him in an Aquaman gimmick. Seaman. Give people another
reason. He goes to aquariums and starts talking to the fish.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That'd be great.
Jack Jarves, Darren Young joining the New Day or going to NXT for a bit instead of Bob Backlund's storyline. Your thoughts? No.
No, I'm sorry. I love Bob Backlund. I love what they're doing with him.
They've only had him on TV together for 2-3 weeks. Give it time to develop.
And they're good. I like him.
I do too. Nafish. Kofi has been in WWE for nearly 10 years. Do you guys think he will ever get a run with the world title?
No, I do not.
Maybe.
I do not.
Maybe.
I think the member of the New Day that has the biggest chance at winning the world title are the other guys.
I think Big E has the best shot of winning the world title of the three of them.
Xavier can do more
in
so many other levels. It's just I've always heard that because he is the height that he's at. But could Xavier transition into a Daniel Bryan type character? I think he could.
He could, but my worry would be that they would have too many characters of that mold. Because you could say Sami Zayn is that. They could book Finn Balor that way.
Good problem to have. A lot of Daniel Bryans. Good problem to have.
Alex Foster. Which tag team do you want to see in WWE NXT? Personally, he would love to see the Motor City Machine Guns. I believe they're in Ring of Honor.
Okay. Yeah. I think, Motor City Machine Guns. They're Ring of Honor or TNA?
Oh, maybe a TNA.
I think TNA.
Okay, sorry.
I don't know. We got to bone up on our indie
wrestling. The answer is the Young Bucks.
I love when I call TNA an indie wrestling promotion.
I know.
Because you always correct me on it. And I'm like, I don't care. I like to call it an indie wrestling promotion.
But I think your answer would be the Young Bucks, correct?
I mean, obviously, I want to see Broken Matt Hardy and Brother Nero.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the Young Bucks will be there. I don't know. I'm so torn on the Young Bucks because they're amazing in the ring. But trying to solicit X-Pac heat, I don't know if that's... I don't... That's what they do. That they actively seek out X-Pac heat.
That's funny.
By doing the fucking thing all the time.
Yeah.
That's their gimmick.
It's funny, though.
It bugs the shit out of me, and I know that's what they want it to do.
Yeah.
I just don't want to... I don't know. They're great in the ring, though. They are fucking great in the ring.
World...
I don't like the Elite's logo. I don't like it.
Yeah.
It's ugly.
Yeah.
Doesn't stand out. God, you have the... I know they're doing that for their own financial interests. I know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But you're part of the Bullet Club. Embrace it.
No, I think, given Kenny Omega's recent interview, I understand why they want to move beyond that.
I know, and I get it. But look, whoever
and
designed...
If you can launch...
I'm a big design guy.
If you can use the Bullet Club to...
You're right.
To further yourself.
Oh, God, you're absolutely right.
By separating yourself from that, then
you're absolutely right.
By all means, do it.
You're absolutely right. I just hate their logo.
Okay. World champion, Zach Humphrey. I guess that's who it is, because it says Zach H. Book Xavier slowly starting his own Wyatt family on Raw after his change at Battleground due to being beat by Bray.
Book slowly starting his own Wyatt family.
So the Raw branch of the Wyatt family.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think they put an end to that storyline already.
I think, it's like, why bother? Because after last night, I'm excited about what they're going to give me. I don't want a fantasy book. I want to enjoy what I'm given. I don't want to pine over something that could be better. Yeah. I want to see better.
Yeah. Jefferson, will we see a Gift of the God style belt or a Women's Universal Championship on SmackDown?
Good question about the women's title.
They need to give SmackDown another belt.
They do. What are the women fighting for? They don't have a belt.
No. But they definitely need to give SmackDown another belt. I don't know what it is, but they need to give SmackDown.
Do you think SmackDown needs a women's belt?
I think they only have, five or six women on the roster?
What is the fucking point of having a division? What is the point? Like, if you're a woman, now you can't fight for anything. You can't fight for anything now.
Yeah.
What are you fighting for? What are you aiming for? What's your ultimate goal?
Yeah, no.
What, to impress the people at SmackDown or Raw to get drafted to the show with an actual belt that you can win?
Yeah, I don't know.
Who's on there?
Becky Lynch.
Natalya.
Alexa Bliss. Carmella.
Bring Bayley in a belt.
Yeah.
Bring Bayley in a belt.
Maybe that's what they're going to wait for.
That'd be good.
Another question from Jefferson. But Corbin, Reigns, and Larson in an apathetic team known as No Fucks Given versus Matt Hardy in a can of green beans.
Obviously, that writes itself. But
who goes over?
Vanguard version, Vanguard 1.
Well, I can't argue with that.
Thank you, Vanguard 1. You always cover my bases.
I am Perfection, 2K16.
I am Perfection.
What do you guys think of the WWE Universal title name? Well, obviously, I think it's great.
Oh, I think it's amazing. My best friend came up with it. So why wouldn't I think it's amazing?
19-time European champion.
No, dude, no.
How do you feel? Do you think we could come up with something better? Remember, initially, I said that it should, on SmackDown should be the WWE title.
Mm-hmm.
And on Raw was be the WWE Global Championship.
Mm.
And then the top prize,
yeah,
defended once a year at WrestleMania, would be the Universal title.
Universal, yeah.
That's the only way it might be better.
Yeah, but no, I like the Universal Championship. That wasn't really a question, though. So you remain 19-time European champion.
Matt Shipman. What do you think the new Universal Championship will look like? Variation on the WWE belt or totally different? I hope it's shaped like a swirling galaxy.
I thought the same thing. That'd be dope. I don't know, man. I want this thing to be hype.
Yeah.
Like, the look
LED
at the
lights to emulate stars.
Isn't the Lucha Underground title, like, massive?
It's huge.
I want it to be bigger than that. Like, do you ever see a picture of Rey Mysterio carrying the WWE Championship? He looks so tiny with it. That's what I want it to look like on Braun Strowman.
You want the circular part of it to be like a large pizza, that size, right?
Yeah, like a mountain size for Mountain Mike's.
Okay,
that's what I want. Or Rico's. Rico's had giant pizzas.
Yeah, they did.
God, I want to get Rico's. I think there's still one left in town in Natomas.
Yeah, sounds right.
God, I want to eat that.
Michael Loyster. We already talked about our thoughts on the Balor debut, but do we see him beating Rollins at SummerSlam?
I love that Michael's name is like a cross between a lobster and an oyster.
Any chance?
Makes me hungry. Where are we getting for lunch?
I don't know. We haven't decided that yet. Okay. Let's get to the show first. Any chance Balor claims gold at his first pay-per-view?
Yes. Yes.
What are his odds?
50-50, baby.
Yeah, I have to 50 agree.
50 fucking 50.
Right now, I have to
and
agree.
And they're going
to
have the match of the fucking show, I guarantee that. You think Seth Rollins and Finn Balor aren't going to tear that shit down?
What did I tweet right after that match?
What'd you tweet?
I said Seth versus Finn is going to be top notch.
By the way, I love this new era of Larson tweeting during Raw. It makes me so happy.
I caught the last 40 minutes of the live broadcast.
I love it. It's great. New era.
Michael Eager. Why didn't Baron Corbin and Apollo Crews get the Balor treatment when they debuted? First of all, neither of them were NXT champion.
And second of all, neither of them are Finn Balor.
Also, he wishes that I didn't shave.
You know one thing that I'll... you need to keep that shit in check. One thing that Russo said that... Or actually, I think it was Austin said during the podcast that resonated with me was when he said there are too many guys who are being brought up that aren't ready yet.
Yeah.
These two are a prime example of that. Guys like, dude, why... And, you know, I know why they want to bring in sort of fresh meat for the Performance Center and see what they can do. Guys from MMA, stuff like that. But if you look at the wealth of guys who have had 10 to 15 years experience on the indie level or mm-hmm. in New Japan, which mm-hmm. is not an indie level at all.
No.
When you get guys like that, Shinsuke Nakamura, you get former world champions.
Oh, I know.
Like, the product is so much better.
But I think also at the same time, I think some of those guys who would work in the indies for 5 or 10 years and have managed to make a living doing that
mm-hmm.
and control their own brand,
mm-hmm.
do interesting stuff, travel the country, wrestling new people all the time, mm-hmm. that might have value to them.
Yes.
They support themselves, so maybe they don't want to make the leap to WWE. That's what the Young Bucks said
for a while. I totally agree, but I'm just saying from the WWE standpoint, that's what they should be going.
Oh, I think they are.
Yeah.
I mean, if Kenny Omega is being truthful and he has an open offer at NXT, I'm sure there's a lot of top indie guys and guys in New Japan that have that same offer. Ronan Curtis. Is the era we're in now better than any other? Attitude Era was great, but had weird gimmicks. This is the most wrestling focused. I think that in terms of the quality of the matches, night in, night out, from match to match, this is probably the best WWE's ever been.
The talent, the level of talent and what they're able to do in the ring you know, sometimes they're not allowed to do certain things in the ring, but what they're able to do, by far.
Yeah.
By far.
Kaufman. Thoughts on the in-ring interviews Raw was doing pre-post-match. The one with the jobber was golden.
It was. I might rewatch Raw tonight. Especially if SmackDown lays a trip. I don't think they're going to. I think SmackDown's going to be amazing tonight.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be great.
Yeah. Stefan Fenris. New era comes new merch. Which superstar should have their own food product other than the New Day? What is it? What is the name?
I want Bray Wyatt Krispies.
Okay. I feel like that Braun Strowman should have his own line of gourmet hamburgers. Braun Burgers.
Braun Burgers. There you go.
AJ Rods. Who do you think is going to be the first cruiserweight champion? Ibushi.
Ibushi.
Yeah. Kota Ibushi.
Yeah, thank you. I always forget that dude's name.
The Good Lucha Thing. Is a Sasha Banks heel turn imminent? Not imminent, no, but it will probably happen to lead to a feud with Bayley.
Yeah, if Raw gets Bayley, SmackDown really needs Bayley.
I know, they really do. She needs to go there.
And their own belt. Five women makes a division. You missed a question from Damian Clark, by the way.
Oh, sorry. Oh, I didn't put on these notes.
He says, am I the only one that noticed an increase in beards on Raw? Yeah, Reigns, Neville, Jericho sporting them now. Jericho has a goatee. And the likes of Sheamus and Curtis Axel have bigger ones, too. Do you think the first decree from GM Foley was everyone must grow beards? I'd like to think that's the case.
Yeah, that'd be great if that were the case.
Mm-hmm.
All who can grow a beard must grow a beard.
I know, and then I would hang my head in shame. Sorry, Foley, I'm heading to SmackDown.
That's the beardless show, huh?
It's a beardless
except
show.
For Bray. I guess maybe Bray has to shave his beard.
Yeah.
Another one from Nacho McMoo. With them focusing on the Sasha-Bailey friendship so much, do you think a Sasha heel turn for WrestleMania 33... Bayley versus Sasha. I really want to see that match on a huge stage. I was thinking last night during Sasha's win, I want to rewatch the Sasha Bayley match from TakeOver Brooklyn last year.
Okay.
Because that might be one of my favorite matches ever.
Oh,
in terms
man.
Of pure storytelling.
The not the Iron Man match, but the other one.
Yeah.
The other one is amazing. That when she that spot
when she's stomping on her hand. Oh, the leaping over the ropes.
The leaping over the ref.
Oh yeah.
Over the fucking ref. Was amazing.
I was thinking of that spot where she has her in the bank statement near the ropes, and she's stomping on her injured hand,
right,
to keep her off the.
Oh
ropes.
No, it was great,
fucking
and,
brilliant.
And Bayley, Bayley was on Jericho's podcast as well.
Oh, okay,
it's a really good one. And she talks about that, and she was like, "Man, it hurt like hell because I was legit coming off of a hand injury."
Yeah, she broke her hand or something. Yeah. Carl Batum Bacall, do you guys believe that Sasha Banks' title run can suffer from terrible booking, i.e., the title gets taken off her too quick? Based on the response she's been getting and the response she got last night after she won, I hope not.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen.
Brenna Elmore, so what show will Bayley be on?
The good thing about Sasha that I honestly think is going to happen, she's going to have the belt as a face, and she's going to heel turn with the belt.
Yeah.
I really think that's going to happen. And like you said, it might happen with Bayley, but I really hope Bayley goes to SmackDown.
Yeah, we just answered the question then. Joaquin Cardenas, who do you see as the reasonable champs of Raw and SmackDown Live at the next WrestleMania? So let's look ahead to April 2nd. Who's going to be the champ of Raw? Who's going to be the champ of SmackDown?
Raw and SmackDown.
Fuck it. I'm going to say Dean holds the belt till WrestleMania.
Boy, that'd make him strong.
In a match with John Cena, Dean goes over.
I'm going to go this far.
And
wouldn't it be great? I don't think they're going to do it. Wouldn't it be great if they use WrestleMania? We've said this before as a Super Bowl type thing. Your universal, original universal idea. How much would it just tear the house down if we got Finn Balor versus AJ Styles, the two former leaders of the Bullet Club, in a match? And it's not title versus title. It's bragging rights, which I think is enough.
Yeah.
At WrestleMania.
That'd be great.
Because then they can use the other guys like Dean, like Seth, in higher profile non-title matches, just behind good stories.
So is it going to be
Raw champ? They would never fucking do that.
Raw champ versus SmackDown champ?
Yeah, but never do that. They would never do that.
So they wouldn't be champ. They could have that match, but it wouldn't be for.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be champions.
I'm still going to say Finn and AJ.
Okay.
The two former Bullet Club members having the fucking both titles. You think Vince would let that happen? Maybe.
Maybe.
Triple H loves him some Finn Balor, though.
I know.
He loves him some Finn Balor.
Apparently, Vince is very high on AJ.
Yeah.
I need my Raw belt.
Finn and AJ.
I'm saying Ambrose, Cena for the title at WrestleMania for the SmackDown belt. And then it's going to be...
That actually sounds likely, to be honest with you.
I'm going to say Finn, Kevin Owens.
Ooh.
They have a backstory.
Kevin Owens winning the Rumble this year? Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Got some video questions, Steve.
All right, let's see some video questions.
First, from James Stratford.
Let's see what James has to say. He's our British friendo.
Hey, guys. Got another video question for you. Just a quick one this time. What do you guys think of the new Raw set? Personally, I think it's a great addition to the show. I love a new set change. And do you think that SmackDown will get their own unique set tonight? Anyway, cheers, guys.
No, they're just going to use the Raw set and color it, paint everything blue. And they'll be like, whoa, we can just change the lights blue. Why are you painting that blue? That costs a lot of money.
No, they won't use paint. They'll get banners and they'll put them over the awesome LED boards.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. No, they're going to get their own set. I think it's going to look like $1 million. I think they're going to knock it out of the park.
Yes. Agreed.
Hopefully. God, what if it lays a giant turd?
That'd be a bummer, man.
That would be a bummer.
Next question from Jefferson.
Yes. Yes.
Friendos, Jefferson coming at you. Your soon-to-be Intercontinental Going and Raw champion. So I got one question, one comment for you. My question is, do you think we're going to see some trades coming up with possibly maybe Roman moving to SmackDown or maybe just a different type of trade? Maybe you have a better idea. I mean, something to even out the odds, because I still feel SmackDown's completely underpowered against Raw. Anyway, boys, love the show. Thanks a lot for keeping it going and keep doing what you're doing.
Thanks, Jefferson. At this point, it seems a little more likely they're going to trade Roman Reigns to main event.
Back to NXT.
Or superstars, everyone in Raw has. Yeah, trade Roman to NXT for Shinsuke Nakamura.
I wouldn't be surprised if there are some trades happening down the line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Reigns should be traded to SmackDown. Give him a fresh start.
Give him a fresh start. Fresh gimmick. What do we say? Either the ADD thing or Aquaman. Seaman.
Yeah.
Seaman.
Yeah.
Have Mark rep him, be his manager.
Reigns comes out and does his first line. I come from the sea.
I come from the sea. Sorry. Fucking Mark. Oh, God.
Richie Watson, he has a question too.
Let's see, Richie.
Hey, what's up, old man Rivers? I was wondering, what is one match you guys would love to see again but can't, because they either sadly passed away or retired indefinitely or just left WWE not on good terms? Mine would be Seth Rollins and CM Punk versus the Kings of Wrestling, Cassius Ohno, aka Chris Hero, and Cesaro. Or just have Seth Rollins versus CM Punk at WrestleMania. That put asses in the seats. There's money right there. Anyway, that's my question.
Sucker, bro.
Yeah.
What match you want to see again but can't?
I would like to see... Didn't CM Punk wrestle Dean Ambrose in FCW?
Yeah, probably. I know he fought Seth Rollins before, and I'd love to see that now.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be my answer, I think.
All right, Lars, are you ready?
We're going to answer stuff.
Oh, wait, no, we're going to open some shit first, yeah.
This is from, it just says Nathan.
If you guys want to send some shit to our set to put up here, then you can do so, or send us shirts or whatever.
Oh, goodness.
You're already opening the shirt?
Yeah.
You can do so at P.O. Box 1814 Orangevale, California. That's amazing. 95662. You know they have an action figure now for Magnum TA?
It looks great.
That's fantastic. What size is that?
It is Steve's size.
Yes! Yes! That's amazing. I love it.
Thank you very much, Nathan.
Look at Magnum TA in all his glory. Look at that. That's beautiful. Look at right there. Look at that right there.
I'm looking.
Thank you very much for that, Nathan. That's fantastic.
All right, let's do it. Now I'm ready.
Larson, are you ready?
I'm ready.
For Kayfabe Corner.
I'm ready.
It's the ultimate wrestling challenge.
What is our theme this week?
Trivia challenge. The theme this week. Oh, so I put two things out there.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Yeah. At the $10 Patreon mark, you can vote on which theme that we're going to use for Kayfabe Corner week to week. This week, it was the IWGP Heavyweight Championship versus the WWE Championship.
That's good.
Everybody wanted the, well, no, it was pretty close. But the IWGP, the New Japan Heavyweight title, won out.
Uh-oh. This would be bad for me.
Here's the thing, dude. I'm not going to do what everybody probably expects me to do and throw a bunch of Japanese names at you.
Okay.
So don't worry about that. I'm looking for my fucking thing right now. Let's see. That's not it. Here it is.
When you put the two ideas up, it's like, oh, please be WWE. I will do well at that one.
So there are no... There's no Japanese names on here.
Okay.
These are all still pretty fucked up, though. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, number one. Little Tokyo.
Real.
Very good. Masked Volcano.
Real.
Very good. Super Dead.
Fake.
Very good. King Kraus.
How do you spell Kraus?
K-R-A-U-S-E.
Real.
Fake. Mr. Blackjack.
Real.
Very good. Brad Power.
Fake.
Very good. Woo! Baby Bull.
Real.
Very good. Do you actually know these?
I remember Baby Bull.
Okay. Viet Cong Ming.
Fake.
Real. About fucking time. Power Shorts.
Fake.
Very good. Tony Suicide.
Real.
Fake.
Damn.
The Space Lone Wolf.
Real.
Very good. Super Gun.
This is the last one?
Yeah.
Super Gun?
Yeah.
Fake.
Very good. Oh my God.
Nine.
Jesus Christ. Let's see how up you are on New Japan today. Who's the current heavyweight champion?
I'll occasionally read up on it too. I know they just had a major show. I can't remember who it was. I'll say Kenny Omega because I don't know.
Well, I mean, good guess, but no, it's Okada.
Yeah.
He's the only other name I know.
Yeah.
And because AJ dropped his name in the Stone Cold podcast, so yeah. I was like, oh, cool, he's a champ. Okay, Larson might know this one.
Yeah.
Second question.
I know that name.
Second question. How many Americanos have won the IWGP Heavyweight Championship?
Well, I know Brock Lesnar did. For sure. I'm pretty sure he's not the only one. I'll say 11.
Five. Brock, AJ Styles, Bob Sapp, Scott Norton.
Did Andre ever win it?
No. No.
Stan Hansen?
No. Fuck. I forget.
Rick Bogner?
No. Surprisingly, it wasn't who's Billy Gunn's brother?
Bart Gunn.
Yeah, it wasn't him either. I forget who it was. Anyways, it was 5-0.
Nine. I got nine. What'd you get last week? 5 or 6? I think you got 6.
I got 6. I split it down the middle.
I'm up 4 now.
I am impressed.
I was worried I wasn't going to do well.
I know.
Based on the theme.
Knocked it out of the park.
But I did okay.
Did you know the first two?
What were they again?
Little Tokyo and...
No, I didn't know Little Tokyo.
Little Tokyo and Masked Volcano.
No.
How would you ever think Masked Volcano is a real name? That sounds so fake.
I know, but also I was like...
He would start off with two reels. I hate when you do
No, that. No, it's not that. It's more thinking about, okay, which name would you make up yourself versus
right,
not?
Right.
And I wouldn't think you would do you wouldn't necessarily do Masked Volcano.
Yeah.
That's why.
I don't know. Anyways, is that it?
Yeah.
Is that our show for today? My God, how long was it?
An hour and a half. We still have to do a bonus episode.
Oh, my God.
Too.
We got a bonus episode coming up. And we want to say thank you to all of our patrons. Thank you so much for everybody who hits that download button or subscribe button or gives us a rating or a ranking or a review. Keep those up because they only do wonders to boost the profile of the show.
Yes, please.
Get more people in our community. And thanks to all our patrons out there. Stay tuned for the bonus episode. We're going to put that up, I think tomorrow, maybe tonight. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Stay tuned. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.